Being a Christian woman and walking in God's calling for our lives can be a difficult task. With the world and pop culture telling us to be one way, and the Bible saying another, you kind of end up feeling like an other. Well, you're not alone. Join me now and my friends as we navigate life in our 20s and 30s, while making sure we live out our faith, embrace our femininity, and looking cute. We discuss pop culture, life, careers, relationships, and so much more. Prepare to be entertained and educated. I know you're going to love it. Join our movement and embrace being another girl.
The views expressed on this podcast are our own and do not reflect our employers. Enjoy.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to Those Are the Girls with Mallory and Friends. I'm Mallory.
I'm her friend Melanie.
And we are changing culture and bringing back traditional values. I'm super excited for our next episode for Life Month. We're going to be talking about sidewalk outreach. I think this is something I personally didn't know anything about this until I actually saw Unplanned. Just to give you guys some background about sidewalk outreach, I don't know if we even had a sidewalk outreach team in general, but like growing up, sidewalk outreach was only the people who were yelling, telling people they're going to hell. So I just assumed that was what all sidewalk outreach is. But that's not all sidewalk outreach. And we have Melanie Slazar, who is going to talk to us a little bit about that. She has been doing sidewalk outreach for many years. She, in my opinion, is a professional. And currently, she is the president of Pro-Life San Francisco. And if you've listened to the podcast before, you know that she's also married and a mommy. So really excited to talk about sidewalk outreach with Melanie. Melanie, can you like tell us a little bit about how you got started in sidewalk outreach? Like, why did you want to do it? And how many years have you been doing it?
Yes. So to give a brief synopsis of my pro-life story, I got involved in the pro-life movement when I found out there was a pro-life group at my university, and I was able to restart that club, revive that club. And from that point, God opened up a lot of doors and opportunities for me, including but not limited to learning how to do door knocking, testifying, lobbying at my state capitol, doing activism in DC, and going to the sidewalk. And I got started by first going to a 40 Days for Life campaign. I had never heard of 40 Days before, and I just went out to pray. And that was an interesting first experience for me, having the middle finger drive by multiple times and being yelled at. It was just so foreign. But I was really excited to find out that there were people going out to pray. And then as time went on, my city, San Antonio, has a Coalition for Life, and where I'm from, I live in San Francisco now. But the Coalition started a sidewalk intern program that would have the goal of having at least one person outside of that Planned Parenthood every hour that Planned Parenthood was open. So naturally, being the pro-life activist that I am, that I was so excited that this opportunity existed. So I signed up and I got trained, and I would go out to Planned Parenthood at least minimum once a week and would be out there for minimum about 3 hours every time if I was in town. So that's how I got started going to the sidewalk. First was a 40 days campaign, just going out to pray, and then slowly building up to then learn how to interact with clients.
Awesome. I love also too, you talked about starting in your university. So if you're listening and you are in university, I think that's a great place to get plugged in. We've been talking all month about the different ways you can be involved in the pro-life movement, and starting a university, I think, is a great place to start. So I guess let's just really get into the meat of sidewalk outreach, because I think I had a misconception, and I'm sure there's a lot of people who do have misconceptions. What exactly is sidewalk outreach? What does that all entail?
Yes. So, sidewalk outreach, I'm using that term as an umbrella term to include things that you, anything you can see out there, which can include peacefully, prayerfully, just praying. And it could also include actually trying to interact with clients. And I also want to make it even more broad than that, because I think that there's different ways how we can interact with people for the best outcomes, depending on your culture, depending on what makes sense for your city, your community. Because I think some people want to make it seem like there's only one right way to do sidewalk outreach. And I used to have that same mindset too, but as I've gotten a little older, hopefully a little wiser, I now think that it can look differently based off of, like I said, those factors of what works for your community, for your culture, and for what you know is going to reach the most amount of girls and clients. It could look different. And so what I mean by it could look different, I mean, like, it could look like where you are in a vest and giving out gift bags. And maybe it could look like what we've been trying in San Francisco. We made a new brand called Bay Area Reproductive Care. And this pamphlet, this brochure, looks like maybe something Planned Parenthood would have made. But we are aware nobody probably would even touch that if it said the word pro-life on the front. So I also heard once that in areas where it's maybe more Latino immigrant dominated, sometimes having the victim imagery outside really convicts those Spanish-speaking women to not go through with abortions. I heard one story once of this woman who, she would decorate the trees outside of the abortion center with like webs and skulls, making it look like every day was Halloween, and that this pro-life person was like, why are you doing this? How could this work out here? Like, this is so strange. This is not the way to reach people. But then she opened up a binder to show all these pictures of babies she was able to save through kind of making this place be like a haunted house.
You know, that's fair, because I even with Black people, I know that some Black people be like, you know what, maybe this isn't the right place, like, culturally. Okay, that's smart. That's smart.
Story I heard of, I believe, was in Louisiana.
Yeah, that's culturally, that's smart. Wow.
Okay, so I just wanted to share those like examples, that little bit of like, it can look different based off of where you are and who you are and what you think could work best for your community and your situation, the way how the building's set up. It could look different. I don't think there has to be one cookie cutter way to do sidewalk outreach.
I think that is, I really like that you mentioned that, because I am on a similar journey in the sense of, like, I think I've said this when Kristen was on, we were talking about something else, but like, my mind has changed a lot on like the goal is to be effective and to not compromise our morals and not to compromise the truth, but the goal is to be effective. So if having a sign saying you're going to hell, if you notice that like no one's stopping, no one cares, and like, let's start to think of like, what else can we do to be effective? Did that sign work for a while? I'm sure it did. But like, now a lot of people don't even believe in hell. So like, sometimes we have to pivot and think what is going to work. And I like how you said that about like, even regionally, there are some things that will convict someone from in the South that wouldn't convict someone in the North. Something that will convict someone in the North wouldn't convict them in the South. And like, the whole, if our entire goal is to save lives, because this is the last, like, this is it. Like, this is the last line. So if the goal is to save lives, if we're at that point, I think it's smart to think of strategically, like, what can you do at your specific center? And I think at a lot of the places that you'll probably go to be trained, they will talk about like your specific center because you also mentioned there's going to be the ways that it's set up is very different. The different centers in Charlotte are set up like drastically different. So there's going to be those type of things. So yeah, so I really like that you like emphasize how it can be different at different places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would add to that like some key tips are...
Wait, don't say tips yet. That's a question for later. Okay, so let me ask you this next question. Why is sidewalk outreach important? I did mention that it's like the last line of defense, but like, why else do you think, or maybe can you expand on that?
Sidewalk outreach is very important because it is a form of community defense. It is a form of you defending your community to not want the abortion industry to take advantage of vulnerable people. It is the last line of defense. Yes, I like to think of it as we're on the front lines. And then I would say the pregnancy centers are whatever comes after the front lines. like if sidewalk people are the first going into the battle, I think the pregnancy centers are immediately behind that, because what happens when you refer them? They go to the pregnancy center, right? The resource center. So it's very important because we are defending our community to say we do not want this business operating. We want our community members to be aware of all the resources that are available to them and their families, and we're here to help. So I truly believe, I'm convicted that everyone is called to do something to fight this genocide of the preborn babies. And I know it looks different based off of our stage of life, wherever you are at with career and family. It looks different the ways how we can help. I do believe everyone should be doing something. I don't know what that something looks like for you and where you're at in life. But I feel like for me, I'm really convicted that pro-life people, we are responsible for our local abortion businesses. Like, we are responsible for our community, for what's happening in our backyards, to be a voice for the babies, to try to be that last voice for life, to speak into that woman, to refer a client away who maybe isn't even there for abortion services, but to refer them to somewhere where they can get their health care elsewhere. I think that we have personal responsibilities as pro-life people to say, I do not want this business operating in my community. This is a harmful place. They kill babies, they lie to women, and we don't need this place. So that's just to add to that. I think pro-life people, we have responsibilities to your local abortion business, to be outside, however much or however little you can. I think if you're going out there, I have respect for you. Melanie Salazar has respect for you. You have my respect if you're going out there. Game recognizes game.
My next question is, can you kind of give us like a walkthrough of what would happen if you were on the sidewalk and you see a mom coming in and she's clearly pregnant?
Okay. If you're out on the sidewalk, first I want to say it's scary going out there.
Yes, it is.
People have said to me like, oh, I wish I could be brave like you. And sure, I'm sure there's some level of bravery the Holy Spirit has given me. But I want to encourage you that we all have the gift of courage from the Holy Spirit. And like in the Princess Diaries, there's the saying, I don't know if it originates from the Princess Diaries, but that courage, having courage does not mean that you're not afraid. It's the decision that some things are more important than your fear. Ooh. And I heard Lauren Handy say once that sometimes you just have to do it afraid. Just do it scared. Like every time I go out, like I'm not hopping and skipping to the abortion center. Like a lot of times I'm dragging my feet. But I know that I need to be out there, and I still go and do it even while I'm scared with the fear. So I just want to preface with that, like, yeah, you're scared. I mean, it gets easier the more you do it, just like with any skill, exercising a muscle, like it gets better. But just want to start with that kind of mindset in mind of like my fear of somebody yelling at me, giving me the middle finger, of rejecting the information, that fear is less important than the baby that could be killed that day, that the woman who may have a lifelong regret of the trauma of having her baby killed. Like, that is more important than my fear. So I encourage you, first thing, have that mindset when you're going to the sidewalk and say a prayer. It is a spiritual battle, right?
100%.
Abortion, this is demonic, to be killing children, to be taking away the opportunity for someone to know and love God. This is a satanic ritual, and all those businesses have to be, there are demons dwelling there. Like, they are happy that abortion is going on. So have that right mindset before you even get out there. And just like I said, I encourage you that whatever fear you have, the life that is about to be killed, the woman that's about to be lied to, that matters more than your fear. And so when you see, when and if you see that girl, I would encourage you to say something along the lines of, "Hi, good morning." And if she's not in a hurry, it's so situational. Let's say she's not in a hurry, in the ideal scenario, you know, you try to give her the gift bag or the literature that you have with you that day. And it's really person to person what you feel convicted to say. So far, I like to say something along the lines of like, "Can I ask what brought you here today?" I've had friends I know of that they will tell women if they know today is abortion day, it is obvious that this person is pregnant or they are the partner person, support person with the girlfriend, whatever, to say, they'll say something along the lines of like, "Your baby already loves you. You don't have to hurt your baby today." And I know a friend, Victoria, our mutual friend, that she helped save the baby by just simply telling the mom, like, "Please don't kill your baby." So sometimes it really can be, we don't have to think of this like perfect dialogue.
Yeah.
It really can be just this simple act of love of, "You don't have to do this today. You don't have to hurt your baby. Your baby already loves you."
And really quick, sorry, I just want to add, you're so right. There isn't like necessarily like a formula, like say this and then you say they're going to respond with this and then you say this and then you say that, because A, like they're probably not going to respond the way you think they're going to respond. And then B, it really is like another reason to pray before is just to ask the Holy Spirit to speak through you, because what, you know, Barbara needs to hear might not be what Marianne needs to hear. Yeah. So that's why you really need to be pray before, be prayed up, and like be willing to listen to what the Holy Spirit is telling you to say for different specific people.
Totally. And what I want to add to that point about how there isn't like one cookie cutter style, or like there also shouldn't be one like cookie cutter type of person out on the sidewalk. And what I mean by that is like in San Antonio, we had like grandpa dad type characters who would be out there, and they would get girls to come talk to them. We had my beautiful, handsome husband with the green eyes, boyfriend at the time, and girls would come up and talk to him. And then there would be me, young, hip, spicy Latina, and girls would come talk to me, right? And my point in sharing this is that, because I've had people say to me like, "Oh, it's so good. You're young, you're a girl. Like, people will want to come talk to you on the sidewalk." And sure, yeah, I think there's something about seeing someone who looks like you, like seeing someone who naturally you're like, this could be a friend, there's safety mm-hmm. here. Mm-hmm. But I think there's also something in seeing someone who reminds you of like a dad. And maybe there's comfort in seeing that dad
figure. Or your grandma.
Yeah, a grandma figure. And Mallory, I know one time you shared with me that somebody in their car stopped and you're very confident it is because you are a Black woman and they would yes. have not stopped otherwise.
There were white people saying the exact same thing. He just drove right past them. And I know for a fact he stopped because I was a Black woman saying something to him. And it's just kind of like a little, like, unwritten connection sometimes you have when in situations like that. I'll leave it at that.
Yeah. For me, with my Spanish, I've been able to hand out brochures and gift bags. And if I didn't speak my level of Spanish, that interaction could not have happened the way that it did. So I just want to encourage you, whatever you look like, whatever, however
your background old, is.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That God can use you in that exact time you're out there. Like maybe the time that you're out there is the time that we need the grandpa out on the sidewalk, that girl is going to need the grandpa figure or the handsome young guy or the cool friend that looks like her best friend. Like, you know, like God can use everyone. And maybe you are the person in that exact hour that that person needs to see, to feel that level of like comfort and safety. So I just wanted to add to that. And so what else would you say?
So you know, you've talked to her. Can you maybe talk a little bit about like what, like giving someone a bag, like what was that entail? And then like almost if you need a follow up, things like that.
Yeah, so I would start off the conversation like, hi, good morning, maybe compliment something that you like about their appearance. Because, you know, that's a normal way to start conversation. Like, hey.
I was going to say, you would get my attention.
and then if they come over, if they're not in a hurry, then I like to ask, can I ask what brought you here today? And sometimes people will just say like, oh yeah, I'm here for a pregnancy test. Or sometimes they'll be like, oh, I'm here for a test. Or I don't really want to say. So then it's more vague. Or, oh, I'm just here to refill my birth control. I'm here for my pap smear. So then at this point, you, the pro-life person, being the community defense, you need to then know what is the life-affirming alternative where you can send this person away. So ideally, they're here for the pregnancy test. And I would hope that you know the pricing of the pregnancy test at this place, and you can make a marketing pitch to say, well, actually, there's a great place down the road. You can get a pregnancy test for free and an ultrasound to confirm your pregnancy for free. Marketing, free, free, free. And then to ask something along the lines of, does that sound like something you'd be interested in? Would you like, if you like, I could call ahead and get you an appointment now, 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 free, 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 now, now, now. These are like marketing terms to make it seem like this is free and it's in this moment. So again, to then ask, can I ask what brought you here today, is typically my go-to line, because then I can do the calculations in my pro-life brain with the resources that I know of in my community to refer them elsewhere and make the pitch of why you should go over here, because ideally this place is free, 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 or low cost.
Okay, well, that's good. And I want to kind of touch really quick on knowing what's around you. I think that might sound a little overwhelming to some people, but the more you do it, the more you're going to learn. And this is another reason why it's good to join a group. If there's already a group that goes out there, if you have a group of friends, and really important to learn your city. Like if you're truly going to say, hey, I want to do sidewalk outreach, I want to be in the front lines, as Melanie said, I want to do this full on. you're going to have to take some time to just kind of get to know your city and what's going on there. I mean, there were four abortion facilities in Charlotte. Two of them are like right down the street from each other, and they could not be set up any differently. And you have to learn, like, there's already groups that are out there, so you can learn from them, you can join them, you can make your own group, you know, whatever is best for where you are. But there is, like, you have to learn what's going on there. And then there we have five pregnancy centers within the Charlotte area, and then I guess six if you include the Rock Hill. So you have to learn these things and like even get to know the people that work there, because sidewalk outreach and pregnancy centers do work hand in hand, because the people on the sidewalk aren't going to be the ones. I mean, I'm sure there are times where there's someone who walks with you from the very beginning to, you know, holding your hand while your child graduates. I'm sure there's people who do that, but a lot of times they will have someone else who will take over once they go to the pregnancy center. So it's just really important to know the full scope of it. And it takes time. So don't feel like this is, I don't want anybody to feel like this is a lot, this is too much. I don't know X, Y, and Z. A lot of it is a quick Google search. A lot of it is also just talking to other people in your town that are already involved. That's another thing too. You know, part of the pro-life movement, something that we have to get better at is, I hate saying unity because that sounds so like, we need to be unity. But for lack of a better word, I don't know what else to say. So we work together. We work in tandem. We all should have the same goal. So it's just a matter of like getting to know people and then trying to, I guess, learn and figure this out. I just wanted to add that.
Yeah, totally. I don't want to overwhelm people by the idea of like, you need to be the know-all of all like resources available. But I do feel like there is responsibility as a pro-life person. You should know what's available. I'm not saying the world or the country. I'm just saying your city.
In your town, yeah.
Yeah, or at least what are the closest places in proximity of the abortion business? At least know that, so that way that would make the drive or the walk, the bus stop, whatever, easier for that person to leave. And like you said, it should really take a quick Google search of pregnancy help center. I've even called sometimes. I'm like, I just want to make sure y'all are pro-life, right? Like, you can't.
Sometimes they, yeah.
So you got to know what's available, because ideally, if you're that last person to speak life into this woman, you need to know where you can tell her to go. And I encourage you to form a relationship with that pregnancy center that you're going to be referring clients away to. Introduce yourself if there is like this ongoing group that's already formed of 40 days or Love Life, or if you're starting your own student group going out to the sidewalk, young adult group going out to the sidewalk, form a relationship with your pregnancy centers. They each got their own personalities. Some maybe are more private and closed off. Maybe they don't want to work with sidewalk people, but at least so they can know, hey, I'm going to refer people over to you. In San Antonio, we had a good relationship that I could call ahead to the pregnancy center. If I got a girl to leave, a couple to leave, I would call them and say, hey, want to let you know, red car, girl in purple shirt, sweatpants, brunette, she's coming over. And if I had her name, then I could be like, just want to let you know that's happening. With these pregnancy centers, they are HIPAA compliant, meaning that you, the sidewalk activist, you may not know what happens next after you refer that client away to the pregnancy center. You may not know, did she get a positive pregnancy test? Did she choose life for her baby? What happened next? Because they can't tell you if they're trying to be HIPAA compliant, which is really hard for me, the pro-life sidewalk person, because I want to know. You have a natural curiosity of like, well, what did happen next? Like, was she pregnant? Did she keep the baby? Like, what happened next? And so I want to encourage you, something that I've had to come to my own conclusion is like, you know what? I don't need to know. I don't need to have a number. I know some pro-life people, they have this number of how many babies / they've saved, how many women they've helped. They've held babies that they've saved. They've taken pictures, you know, and I envy in a way that I wish I had that too, from all the years, days, and hours on the sidewalk. But I just chalk it up to, you know what? It's not about me. And even if I go my whole pro-life career and maybe I saved one baby from my efforts on the sidewalk, it was all worth it for the glory of God, because it was never about me. And so I want to encourage you, because that is something I had to like get over, like, oh, man, why can't the pregnancy center just tell me like what happened next after she went there? Like, I referred her to you. Gosh, I met her out at Planned Parenthood. Why can't you tell me what's next? So I encourage you to have that same attitude that it's not about me and I don't need to know, but God knows. And that's all that matters.
Amen. And when you get to heaven, you might see them there too.
Yeah.
Some of the babies. Well, as adults, ideally. Okay, so our next question is actually the Patreon question. I'm going to ask Melanie this question, but you're going to have to hear the answer if you have the Patreon on Patreon. And if you do not have Patreon, this will be a good reason to get it. So the next question is, what was your first experience on the sidewalk? She, once again, she will not answer that. right now, she will answer it on the Patreon. Patreon is $5 to join, and you get all of these questions that we're asking the guests, as well as one new episode. And if you join in the month of January, you're entered to win a $50 gift card to Culture of Life 1972. So you should join the Patreon. All right, so next question is, can you tell us a story where things worked out? I guess after what you just said, it's kind of, I guess what I mean is like, you talk to someone, you might have been like nervous, especially like at the beginning. You talk to someone, you were a little nervous, but then they were like really were receptive to what you had to say. You don't really know how it ended, but they were receptive. Can you give a little bit, like something encouraging for the listeners?
Well, can I start with maybe a story that was maybe more sad and then like end with that? Okay. So a story that really like, I was very saddened. And this was back when I had, in the months when I first started going out, I met a girl who was there for her post-abortion checkup. So after she already had the abortion, they're checking to see, okay, all the baby parts are out, you're ready to go back to normal life. And she was visibly sad. And I was able to call her over. Hi, good morning. How are you? Can I ask what brought you here today? And she told me, oh, I'm here because I was here for my post-abortion checkup. But she was, like I said, visibly sad. And I said, like, I'm so sorry. And I guess I just thought to ask her, like, can I ask, why did you have the abortion? And she said that she was in school and her parents said they would not continue funding her school unless she had the abortion. So she did not want it. We could say that's a form of coercion. And I told her, please look at the brochure I handed you. There's information about healing after abortion. I'm so sorry that happened. So I just want to share that as like, it's so sad, like I or someone else didn't get to meet her before the procedure happened. Like I'm meeting her, this is, this already happened. So hopefully she did look into the healing resources and we'll never know. But that was the one and only time I've had that kind of interaction, meeting someone like post procedure. So that I've never forgotten about that. On a lighter note, I was able to refer many people away from Planned Parenthood. I don't know how many, maybe like hundreds. And for sure, I was able to hand out so many gift bags. And now in San Francisco, I've been able to hand out many brochures. And it really can just be as simple as, hi, giving out free gift bags. Would you like a free gift bag before you're heading inside? And then, hi, can I ask what brought you here today? Oh, well, you know, they do free pregnancy tests down the road. Yeah, you see that place? So that worked. It worked so many times. And it was always so exciting to see people get in their cars.
Yeah.
Like, not even walk into the building. Or maybe there were times they would walk into the building and then they'd come out and tell me, like, hey, you're right. That ultrasound was going to cost like $200. Or, yeah, you're right. That for the full panel of the STI test, it was going to cost me $600. Where did you say I can go for the free STI test again? And that was like just always so exciting and, like, you know, thrilling to get to refer people away, see them get in their cars, drive away. And with that would make the building manager very mad, which is another topic we haven't touched on, which are the characters, like the death score.
That's the next question. Don't worry. That's the next question.
Yeah. So, those are, it was just always a joyful moment to see people leave. There were some times that people would park in the Planned Parenthood parking lot, but they meant to go to the pregnancy center, and they would park and then just walk across the street.
That's actually kind of funny.
Yeah, it was funny. But they weren't supposed to do that because PP would threaten to tow your car if you weren't a customer. I never saw it. It was probably just a threat on a sign that didn't mean anything.
Yeah.
But I would try to be a homie, and I would look out for people's cars just in case, like, they were gonna come and tow them.
That's so funny. I have a quick story similar to that. One time I was at the Chapel Hill Planned Parenthood. We actually have an episode. Melanie and I interviewed someone who actually worked there at one point. Our most listened to episode, actually. Anyway, I was at that one, and these two girls were coming in because their church told them that they were supposed to clean the facility, right? Their church. So we're like, oh my goodness, your church told you? They're like, yeah, I mean, we're just coming here. Our church told us to come. They're like young girls. They're probably in high school. So we're like, okay, well, do you understand what's going on in this building? And then one of the girls, you could tell, was like visibly uncomfortable. And the other girl was like, well, I mean, maybe they need help cleaning, and, like, I don't want to judge anyone. Y'all, they were supposed to be at the pregnancy center that was, like, in right behind it or something like that, and they just didn't know because, like, for whatever reason, the addresses are pretty much the same, and then the sign for the pregnancy center is so small compared to the Planned Parenthood. So they walked in to say that they were going to clean it. And they kicked them out because they thought they were joking or something. And then they ended up calling their, like, I guess their pastor or youth pastor or ministry outreach person. And the guy's like, no, you're supposed to be at the pregnancy center. And so, yeah, that was funny. But it was, like, shocking. They said their church. And I was like, your church is asking you to clean a Planned Parenthood? That feels wrong. But they were at the wrong location. That is something that, you know, if you're listening and you are running a pregnancy center, make sure your signs are big and clear. I understand. Yeah. I have understanding why they're not too big, because you don't want to, like, discourage people from coming. But I will say that it probably is a lot more confusing. Like, I'm sure they weren't the first people to, like, go to the Planned Parenthood instead of, like,
ride to the abortion business.
So really quick, before I ask you the question about the escorts, I want to ask, or Yeah, I want to kind of ask you, you mentioned even for STI testing and ultrasounds that you would tell people not to go to Planned Parenthood. Can you kind of talk a little bit about that?
Mm-hmm. So some pregnancy centers offer more than pregnancy tests and free diapers. I really hope as time goes on in the post-Roe era, these pregnancy centers will be more amazing than what I like to say, your grandma's pregnancy resource center.
That's funny.
Pregnancy tests and diapers. I am thankful for the pregnancy centers that offer the pregnancy tests and ultrasounds, STI testing. Some will even offer STI treatment, and then they do parenting classes, birthing classes, etc.
Abortion pill reversal as well.
Yes, the more that we can offer, I'm so thankful, because it's true. If we're gonna tell women, people like guys included, because guys go to PP for their STI testing, like, don't go to this place. We need to be able to say, go to this place instead, you know?
Yes, yes. And that offers a better, at least free, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. My dream pregnancy center, one day, I think, like, this is maybe Melanie towards the, like, retirement era. I don't know. We'll see if God makes this happen. But my dream pregnancy center would be the regular pregnancy centers that we're used to seeing, right? The free pregnancy tests, free ultrasounds, ideally free STI testing and treatment, all the diapers and material aid, car seats, bibs, et cetera, et cetera. But with that, I also would want holistic OBGYN care so that women can get their regular reproductive health care, actual reproductive health care, and then their care when they are pregnant, and so that it's all in this same place. And also at this same place, we are teaching women and couples about natural family planning or fertility awareness methods for women to learn their bodies, to be healthy. And also at this place, we have a birthing center. So from the beginning of am I pregnant to I am pregnant, I need a doctor for my prenatal care, to birth, all this is happening in one beautiful place. I don't know, it's just in my head right now. But that would be like my dream, like, pro-life pregnancy help center.
God is working a lot of people, because I heard at the Frederick Douglass Society's last conference, there was a pastor who was saying they're working on that exact model. Like, their goal, is to be with you from the moment you find out you're pregnant through the birth. And then he also, his church even has like a school and everything. He has a great, I wish I had, I could remember who it was, but, and I do know that there is a pregnancy center that does have OBGYN in Atlanta. I do know that. Mm-hmm. It's connected or something like that. So, right. I agree. Like, I really, that is the goal. Because if we're going to continue to promote life in society, that should be the goal, something like that. Mm-hmm. Well, we promote life. There are people who do not.
Yeah.
Melanie, can we talk a little bit about escorts? What are some tips if people are like, I like what you're saying, but I've seen a little bit too much on TikTok about these escorts. You have a funny story to share? Anything like that? I don't know.
Yeah. Advice? Well, yeah. So some tips I want to say are, number one, like, know the property line of where you can and cannot stand. Because if you are confident in where you can or cannot stand, then you can confidently not let them bully you. Is like tip number two. Do not let them bully you. I just, for years, I probably would just like let them intimidate me and not say anything. And now I'm at the point, like, no, you're not going to bully me. You are defending this killing industry, and it is not okay for you to tell me I cannot stand here. When I stand my ground and I say, this is public property, I am allowed to stand here. And maybe they'll threaten, like, okay, well, I'm going to call the cops. Or actually, I already called the cops. I'm like, okay, what are they going to do? Tell me I can't stand on public property? It's the same thing, like, if I'm standing outside Walmart, if I'm standing outside a church, if I'm standing outside any other place, you just don't like that I'm standing outside of your abortion business. But I'm just standing. And I'm just handing out resources for people to know. If you're so pro-choice, then you wouldn't be against the choices for people to know what all is available to them. Okay? So number one, know where you can and cannot stand. Buffer zones are a lie. Buffer zones are imaginary lines. And I know people who, they listen to the escorts or they listen to the security when they tell them you can't stand here. You can. You can. Like, do not let them boss you around. And when I set my ground, when I say back to them, no, I can't stand here. Go ahead. Call the cops. What are they going to do? Arrest me because I'm just standing here? Because I'm just breathing on public property? What are they going to do? Then when I call their bluff, they shut up. They leave me alone when I set my ground. So yeah, number one, be confident in where you can or cannot stand. When we were in San Antonio, the coalition like asked for the survey from the city of San Antonio to know what is the property line. And then we had that printed out. So whenever the building somebody would say, yeah, you can't stand here, we would just be like, actually, I can. And here is the property lines to show you.
That's smart.
Yes. So know where you can, cannot stand. And don't let them bully you is like tip number two. I just, they just think that they can bully us. And when you stand your ground with them, I feel like they, at least in my experience, they leave you alone after you show. I'm not a box. I'm not a punching bag. Then they stop punching you. Yeah. Funny stories. Well, I've had it happen in San Antonio and San Francisco where the building manager in SA or the security in SF has taken our stuff just because they don't like it sitting where it's sitting on the public property. And I would record them and I'd be like, I'm recording you. That's my property. Give it back. And they do not care that they are on a recording walking away. I'm like, I'm literally recording you. Stop. And funny story. Okay, I've got to the point now where I like to be silly. So I'd say that's tip number three. So one, know the property line. Two, don't let them intimidate you. And three, have fun, have joy. Don't let them steal
joy. I like that. Yeah.
They want us to be sad. They want us to be just depressed. They want us to feel like we're losing and we're losers and we're ugly. And wait,
can I add another thing too?
Yeah.
I notice like on TikTok and like even the times I've been out there, they want us to even talk about things that have nothing to do with abortion. And I think that sometimes, like, and what do I mean? Like, you know, I remember I had a conversation about the color pink. That's my favorite color. If you know anything about me, that's part of my personality. No big deal. But, you know, start having conversations. Well, did you know that in 1856, something, Abraham Lincoln, blah, 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 blah. And it's like, or, you know, I know at the one I go to in Charlotte, they bring up guns a lot, which is like, that has nothing to do with why we're here. So I would say also, like, you know, what Melanie said, have joy, and they, because they want us sad, and they also want to distract us. They want us talking about other things. I just recently saw a TikTok where the death score, as Melanie and lots of people call them, the death score was recording someone that was on our side, and she was just saying, she was talking about, like, the name, like, certain names, and, like, kind of talking down on, like, certain names, which, you know, we can have conversations about that, but I don't think we should be having conversation about that when we're trying to save babies. And it just made her come off really, honestly, it made her come off really racist, and it just fed into the lie, like, that pro-lifers are racist. And it's like, if she had just not engaged them on that conversation, that wouldn't have been a video, it wouldn't have been something that people can use now, you know. And I don't know the full story. I only know the context of which I've seen it, so that's what I'm talking about. But, like, I just think sometimes, like, and I see even on our side, on, there's, like, specific TikToks about the Charlotte ones, because it's, they've gone viral, they're big, popular now. And I know I've seen sometimes where, like, some of the men out there are talking about, like, modesty and things like that. And it's like, these are great conversations we're having, but I don't think those are the conversation that we should be having when we're trying to save babies right now. Like, that's not beneficial. They want us to look that way. They want us to seem unhinged. Okay, that's all I was going to say on that.
Yeah, sure. That could be tip number 4. Like, don't let them distract you. Yeah. But to my point, tip number 3 is, like, don't let them steal your joy. So something I like to do is bring my AirPods and listen to music. And if I don't feel like anyone is watching me in particular, I like to have a little dance. I like to just, like, just dance. Maybe I'll just sing out loud if nobody's around me or within earshot. Because I'm like, well, right now there's nobody here. And gosh, I'm going to listen to some good music. I'm going to sing a little. I'm going to dance a little. And I wonder, what is the security thinking if they're looking at that footage in real time or if they're playing it back?
And, that's so funny.
But at least they can see, like, wow, this girl, she's having a good time. I don't really know why. So I encourage you the same. Yeah, it's always nice to have a friend with you, because then you can have some conversations while you're out there. And if you are alone, bring a headset, listen to some music, dance a little if you like to dance and you don't feel uncomfortable. And with that, with the death squirts, is, like, I told this one woman who, she said she was going to call the cops on me, right? And I was like, you're going to call the cops just because I'm standing on public property? And then I was like, do you think the cops are going to arrest me if I'm dancing? And I literally started dancing for all the viewers at home. I was, like, doing a little something like this. Like, do you think they're going to arrest me if I do this? And she said, I hope so. And on Christmas, or a couple days before Christmas, we were out there and the security was trying to keep us from talking to girls. And I literally said to him, I was like, you're a Grinch, you know? just like humanizing myself and just, like, being silly. Like, you think they're going to arrest me if I'm dancing? Or, hey, you're a Grinch. You out here 2 days before Christmas? Like, you're such a Grinch. So that's just another example of, like, not letting them intimidate you, having fun, like, you're not going to steal my joy, you're the bad guys, not me.
And just to add on to that, like, we are on the side of good. Like, what we're doing is good, what we're doing is godly. So I really like to say don't steal your joy, because you're right. If we're standing out there looking like, ugh, you know, someone else goes, oh god, another person left, like, no one's gonna want to talk to us. If we already have a mindset of, you're going out there, it's just not gonna work, then, you know, it might not work. No one's gonna want to talk to you. So I just think that you're so right about that, the joy thing, like, having joy while you're out there. And it is okay to have joy, because I know some people are probably like, well, this is a serious thing, like, we shouldn't be goofing off. And it's not necessarily about goofing off, it's more of, like, I think you were good too when you said humanizing you, so that the people, at least the death scores, can humanize you so they don't do anything too crazy. And it's also, like, the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Mm-hmm.
That's biblical.
Yeah, you're right. I've seen some pro-lifers have made comments of like, but this we shouldn't be dancing, we shouldn't be like singing, like y'all shouldn't be having a party. And there's this quote, I don't remember where it's from. My friend Kristen told me, Kristen Turner. It's something like, if I can't, I don't want to be a part of your revolution if I can't dance. Like if I can't dance through the revolution, I don't want to be a part of it. Something like that. I'm getting it wrong. But it's true. Like if we can't celebrate life, if we can't be in camaraderie and love each other and have friendship, like what? We're just supposed to be depressed all the time. We're just supposed to be remembering the victim images all the time and
And
being sad
somber,
all
yeah.
the time. Like, no, we shouldn't live that way. Another tip I have is at the end of the time when I know like I'm gonna leave now, what I've started doing, because in San Francisco, the sidewalk is where the door is. It's like prime real estate. Like there isn't a giant parking lot in between
Wow.
us and the door. Like the sidewalk is the sidewalk, the door is right there. And so those escorts are out there too. So what I've started doing is after I've been like silly and maybe annoying them a little, they keep talking to me. My thing is like, don't talk to me, I don't talk to you. But when they irritate me, I'm like, okay, you want some of this spicy Chicana. So what I've started doing before I go is I tell them, hey, I just want to let you know that this place kills babies. It's not a matter of opinion. It's a scientific fact. Babies in the womb are human, alive from fertilization, and this place dismembers and starves children. So I want to let you know if you're volunteering here, there's other causes you can volunteer your time for than baby killing. And then I've given examples like you could volunteer at maybe with a foster care program, you can volunteer at an after school program, you can volunteer at a financial literacy program. Like there's other places to volunteer. And if you're working, if they're paying you, I want to let you know about abortionworker.com. They've helped hundreds of people leave the abortion industry. It is an industry, and you don't have to work here. So that's been my last thing
That's good, Melanie.
before
That's
I go.
good.
Yeah, I used to not really do so much outreach to the workers and the death squads, but now I'm like, you know what? We're right here. Like, and I'm not afraid of you anymore because I'm not letting you intimidate me. I'm showing you I'm a person. So I'm just gonna go ahead and say it. And yeah, so that's, and they listen. They listen
I'm
because
sure,
I've humanized myself, because maybe I made them laugh a little too, like because they've seen that I'm being silly or whatever. They listen. And because I'm pregnant, I've been able to pull up ultrasounds of my baby. And I'm like, I'm actually pregnant right now. This is my baby at 7 weeks from fertilization. They're killing the same babies here. And just want to let you know, you don't have to work here. So.
That is really good. That was what I was going to ask, but you already answered the question, because I do think that they're humans too, and we have to remember that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities and the rules of the darkness of this world. So there, these death squads are there, and they can be really mean. They can be, very vile. I know the one in Charlotte can be very disgusting and like very sexual, and but we're not fighting against them. They are not our enemy. Our enemy is, it's a spiritual, and we talked about this earlier before we got the episode started. It is a spiritual thing that we're fighting, and that is what we should be focusing on. And also, part of how the, or one of the factors in the Charlotte, one of the Charlotte abortion facilities closing down was the workers left. If all the workers leave, you no longer have a facility. Now, not all of them left, but and there was a myriad of reasons, health violations, X, Y, and Z. But like one of them was like the workers were like, okay, this we can't be here anymore. So helping people and oh, and even in our episode with Annette, she talks about how there's a huge turnaround because people don't realize fully like what they're doing. Like they think, oh, I'm just a, and they get to, and it's just so much darkness. So, you know, the more you humanize people and talk with the other, not with the other, but with the death squads, like the better. Or escorts, you know, now that we're talking about humanizing them. The escorts, the more we talk with the escorts, I think the there's definitely going to be positive in that, for sure.
Okay. Yes. Well, so number one, it was like, know the property line. Number two, don't let them intimidate you. Because when you know where you can and cannot stand, you can stand your ground and be like, no, I'm okay here. Like if the police comes, what are they gonna do? I'm the same as if I was standing outside of a McDonald's. Like I can stand here, and don't let them steal your joy. What was the fourth thing you said?
What was the fourth thing I said? Don't let them steal your joy. Oh, and don't be like distracted. Like don't have them. Oh, don't let you don't them have to be answering you. Like for gun violence. Like that has nothing to do with while you're there.
Yeah, don't let them distract you. And number five, yeah, before you leave, if they're within earshot, mention abortionworker.com. Mention that there's better places they can volunteer their time at if they're just volunteers.
Thank you so much, Melanie. I want to ask you one last question. We ask this question to all of our guests, and I'm sure I've asked you this before, but, you know, it can be the same answer, it could be a different answer. If every single girl in the entire world was looking at you right now, what is something you can tell her? And it doesn't have to be about sidewalk outreach. It can be about anything, whatever you want to say. No pressure, but every single girl in the entire world is looking at you right now. Okay. What would you say to her?
Right now, I would want to say women are powerful. If we know and understand the beauty and design of our bodies and our own dignity, we are able to call men to high standards. We set the standards for men. And fun fact, if you don't already know, the egg actually chooses the sperm. There's so much imagery that we think the strongest, the fastest sperm that gets to the egg first survives. Actually, there's sperm that are like, hey, little mama, let me in. I want to be the one. But she says, I want you. So take that same imagery of our egg when she she wants to marry the sperm. That ladies, you are powerful and beautiful. You set the standards for men, and you get to choose.
Mm. Yeah, love that.
I have one last thing I want to say about the sidewalk, though. Is that I know that just getting out there is scary. Just standing out there. We're not even talking about interacting with clients. I know that just going and standing out there, it is a scary first step. But I encourage you to take that first step forward, and so that you can keep making steps forward, leaps and bounds forward, maybe for the babies. If you've done tabling on your school, for your pro-life group, if you've done any type of pamphleting, passing out stuff before, it's kind of those same skills on the sidewalk. It's kind of these skills that are transferred over. So I just want to say, I understand just going out there is like this huge mental hurdle. So take that first step to just go. Go maybe during a 40 Days for Life campaign, which I believe is starting February 14th, is the upcoming campaign. And just pray, maybe. Just pray. Just like see what other people are doing. But then I want to encourage you and call you to do more. If you feel convicted, of course, it has to be God that's telling you this, right? But yeah. If you feel led to do more, which is then to do the next step, which is to talk to people, to interact with clients. I know that is the next like mental hurdle. It's one thing just to get out there, then it is another thing to talk to people. So I encourage you, if you've never first talked to people, at least first get out there, go pray, maybe watch other people, and then ask somebody who's maybe already talking to people, if you can shadow them. Can I hang out with you? Oh, you come every Tuesday. Okay, can I come with you next Tuesday? And I'll just kind of stand on the side and I just want to listen and see how you do it. That way it's maybe some training wheels. And then maybe one day you can be that person that you can invite people to come shadow you so that then these skills are transferred and live on and then we get more people going out there. Yeah.
That's good. Thank you, Melanie, so much for coming on and talk about Sidewalk Outreach. How can, if people want to talk to you, reach out or anything like that, how do they communicate with you?
Sure. My personal social media is my first and last name with an extra A at the end. Melanie Salazar A on Instagram and other social medias, but I'm primarily using Instagram. And I'm also the executive director of Pro Life San Francisco. We are on social media platforms at Pro Life SF. Fun fact, locals don't actually call it San Fran. I learned that lesson the hard way. So call the city SF. So Pro Life SF is another way to reach me and watch all the cool activism that I'm doing to hopefully save some babies, help some moms.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you, thank you, thank you again. If you guys enjoyed this episode, please make sure you like, rate, review, and subscribe. Let us know if you learned anything different about Sidewalk Outreach. If you have any questions, please reach out to me or Melanie about it. And I just really encourage everyone, share this with all of your pro-life friends, but I encourage you to really pray about whether you should join us. I think you should, but go ahead and pray about it. You know, get the confirmation from God, whether you should join those people who are out on the sidewalk in your town. I think that the more people we have out, the better. And I think it's a night, though it can be intimidating, it is a simple task. Like when you really put down, yeah, when it comes to brass tacks, it's very simple. And I, like Melanie said at the beginning, like I really think we need every type of person. It doesn't matter your age, your race, your background, your, you know, English speaking skills. Like what matters is like you yourself go and do this. So share this with your friends and rate, like, review, subscribe, all of those things. Anything else you want to add?
Courage doesn't mean that you're not afraid. It means that you are making the decision that something is more important than your fear. Let your love for the babies, your love for women, be more important than your fear and have that courage.
Amen. Have a great day, night, evening, however, wherever you're listening. Bye.